Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You know what this song makes me think of, Doran Dickerson?
What you got?
You know what this song makes me think of, Nicholas Harry Callis?
The movie?
Yeah, Keira Knightley being hot. That's what it makes me think of. But second, it makes me think the Pirates are down a couple of runs going into the ninth inning. And the scoreboard is trying to get Buccos fans out of their seats. It's rally cap time. Turn that thing inside out. Hoist the colors. Bust out the old Jolly Roger. And boys, it is baseball season. Starts today. You can listen to the game right here on 93.7 The Fan. You got Mitch Keller going up against Jesus Liardo. Did I say that right? Callis' laughter is telling me I didn't. You guys know I'm bad with
Jesus
the pronunciation.
Jesus Lizardo.
I nailed it. I nailed it. The Buccos a slight underdog if you're into that kind of thing. And I want people to call in right now at 412-928-9370 and tell us what your expectations are for the Pirates this year. Is this the year that they break 500 with this current front office setup? Is this the year that they finally make the playoffs again? 412-928-9370. The text line's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us at underscore Adam Crowley, at Score and Doran, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Boys, I look at the Pirates opening day lineup from year number one under Ben Cherington, and you had Jose Osuna as your designated hitter. You had Guillermo Heredia in right field. Jared Dyson, sweet God, in center field. You had Jacob Stallings at catcher. That was a horrific baseball team. I look at last year's opening day lineup, and your right fielder was Kanan Smith and Jigba. You had Jiwon Bae at second base. Austin Hedges at catcher. The Pirates, what they're going to put out there today from a lineup standpoint, are significantly better than they've been the last couple of years. How much so? Well, that's the question. Is it playoffs or bust for this team, Doran? Is it 500 or bust for this team? What do they need to accomplish for you to say at the end of the year, okay, this thing was a successful season?
I think it's playoffs or bust.
Whoa.
We talk about this a lot. I mean, well, wild card seat, and they were eight games out last year, and we've kind of deciphered through and how you can make up those eight games with Cruz being out, with you know, Velasquez being out last year. Those are two guys that I saw that could possibly make up those games and make up that gap to be getting the eight games. And I think this year with the homegrown talent, that's what I like about it, the homegrown, the Henry Davises, and you're going to have Skeens up at some point. You got Mitch Keller. You got Brian Hayes. You got Kutch. I mean, Reynolds. I mean, you have guys that you have developed and that you believe can be this nucleus of a young, good ball club. I think that the way that they played in spring, and I'm not putting too much into it, I'm not putting too much into spring ball, but I think that they carry that momentum. I know that they're going to go through their ups and downs, and that's baseball, right? Like, you're going to have that, but do you go through the ups and downs at the right time? And last year they didn't. Last year they went through the ups, and that was the right time, but whenever they went through the down, they couldn't figure out a way to get back up.
Yeah.
And sustain getting back up. And whenever they do have their lulls, are they going to make it a long streak of losing, or are they going to make it a shorter streak? Because if you make it a shorter streak, there's their games right there. Whenever you don't have a long, like, 10-game losing streak or 8-game losing streak, say it's just 2 or 3, that's a difference in your ball club in making it and making a splash in the playoffs. And I think that they'll be able to do that this year. They know each other very well. They played together somewhat last year. So I think that they have a real true opportunity this year to make it to a playoff. And I do think that that should be the standard.
I think it's okay to look at spring training and it make you excited.
Yes.
I know that we did the thing last year, everybody did, with Kenny Pickett with the 158.3 passer rating. But I look at spring training and the Pirates leading the Grapefruit League in home runs, and it was the right guys that were doing it. Like, O'Neill Cruz hit a bunch of home runs. Henry Davis was hitting home runs. Jared Triolo, who's your everyday second baseman, hit .310. Key Brian Hayes picked up right where he left off at the end of last year, which was, I think, a question mark and still remains a question mark coming into this season. Can he be that same guy? One number that I also have that's seared into my mind, and maybe it's because I want to be optimistic about this team, but maybe it's just the right number, is they finished 32-30 down the stretch. And really, for most of that time, they were throwing out 2 starting pitchers. They were cobbling everything else together. As bad as I do think this rotation could be, I don't think it'll be worse than that. And I think their lineup is head and shoulders better than what it was last year. So I think that, yeah, going into year 5 of a general manager, the expectation should absolutely be, let's make the damn playoffs. That should be the expectation. That should be what this offseason has been geared to. And they still have a hole in the starting rotation. And if you want to talk about them being cheap, we are here for that, I think. But it's not just the cheap. It's that Bailey Falter is in your rotation when you've got Luis Ortiz, who was dominant this spring, who's going to be coming out of the bullpen. It didn't have to be a money thing. You could say, hey, Bailey Falter, thanks, but no thanks. We're putting Luis Ortiz in the rotation. And so I'm having a little bit of a tough time here, Doran, with the dichotomy of, with the juxtaposition of, okay, going into year 5, they should make the playoffs, but also I look at this team and I think there are significant holes. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't hold them to that expectation that when you're halfway through a decade with this front office structure, you should be a team that is playing in October.
Yeah.
What do you think? 412-928-9370. Bare minimum, Doran Dickerson. Bare minimum, Nicholas Harry Callis. I think that day number 1 of September needs to matter as much to Pirates fans as opening day does. Like, bare minimum, they need to be 3-4 games out on day 1 of September. You don't spend 5 years building a ball club, overhauling it from Jose Ozuna at designated hitter to what they're going to put out there on the field today if you do not expect to be in the doggone thing.
Right.
And here's the other part of it. You look at Zips projections, you look at Baseball Reference projections, you look wherever, if you believe in the analytics stuff, you'll see a number of these analytics pop out the Cardinals as the division champion. Even though the Brewers have taken on water in their rotation, you'll see them popped out as a division champion. You'll even see some people projecting that the upstart, young, exciting Reds could win the division. What you are not seeing, though, is any of these projections say that the winner of the NL Central is going to win 90 games. In fact, it's about 83, 84, or 85.
Right.
You're going to be right there.
Yes.
You're going to be. Now, when does Paul Skeens come up? That's going to be a big factor in whether or not you're in this thing on September 1st, Doran. If they wait 2 weeks just to manipulate that service time, I think they got a good shot, because I think he's going to be that great. If they wait until June, if they wait until later in the season, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, and I don't think they'll have a shot.
Well, is that up to him, or is it up to them? Do you think that, like, so he's starting in AAA, like, does, you know, if he take care of his business, I think he will be up in 2 weeks. And now, if he doesn't take care of his business, why bring him up soon?
I don't know that it's even possible to do enough in 2 weeks. Like, I think it's all based on them. Like, he's only going to get a couple of starts in 2 weeks.
You don't think if he has, like, a couple bad starts that would keep him down?
I do think that would. I don't know that a couple of good starts would be enough to show them. I think either way, you got to bet on the talent.
Yeah.
And he needs to be
I'm
up.
I'm with you.
Yeah. He needs to be up ASAP. And I think that we can forgive their lack of augmenting this rotation if in 2 weeks, right, Bailey Falter, you pull him out, and Paul Skeens, you stick him in.
Kind of see that playing out, though, right? You're hoping, I guess. You're hoping that that's the case. You're hoping that that's kind of the scenario that rolls out in 2 weeks. It's like, okay, Bailey Falter, let's see what you got. Let's see if you got any stuff that you could bring to the table for 2 weeks. This is kind of your trial period. If you don't, all right, got the young guy. We got our guy.
Well,
time to go.
That would be my hope. I don't know that that's the way they're going to do it, man. They just historically haven't done that. Now, they haven't done what they did with Jared Jones and have him on the opening day roster, a guy that's in a similar position of years of control. Like, they've never done that before, and that is moving in the right direction. But he's not this prized shiny object the way that Skeens is. I think it's more likely they treat him like Gerrit Cole, and you wait until after the Super 2 deadline and not just the service time deadline. Now, I also think that if you gave Ben Cherington truth serum and you said, hey, man, why didn't you sign a Jordan Montgomery? Why didn't you go after, and I'm just pulling a name out, this is probably unrealistic, but why didn't you go after a Blake Snell? If he drank that truth serum, I think he'd probably say, well, we're going to bring up Skeens at some point. So why pay money for a guy in a rotation spot when we'll just move Bailey Falter out and slide him in?
Right.
But I think, and this is not breaking news, I don't think this is a unique take or anything like that. I think they're good enough. They showed it last year, winning 76 games. If the division winner is only going to win 83, 84 games, they are good enough to be in the mix. When he comes up is probably going to determine whether or not they can be an 80-plus win team or not. Like, you trot Bailey Falter out there every day, or you do the Quinn Priester experiment, or my God, if Roenzi Contreras at some point would be an option. You talk about those prolonged losing streaks, Doran. That's how those things happen.
Exactly.
But if you've got Mitch Keller, who you think can be a stopper, if you've got Paul Skeens, who you think can be a stopper, all of a sudden, you might have a couple of bad days. Those guys can lift you up. I think the determining factor in just how good this team can be is when Paul Skeens makes his major league debut.
Whenever he does make that debut, and say it's in a couple weeks, they have to be on a winning streak, though, because you don't want to put him in a pressure situation where he thinks that he has to get you out of a rut.
I think it's all pressure for him. I don't think it matters when. I don't think it matters how. I think whatever time he comes up, there's going to be significant pressure on him in a way that we haven't seen with a Pirates starting pitcher ever. Now, to your point, when Gerrit Cole came up, he didn't have to be the guy. They had a good rotation. And so he just had to be the next guy. And he delivered with a 3.22 ERA, and he was special. And it did make it easier. You're probably right on him. Paul Skeens, like it or not, is going to be looked at as a savior here. And when you go 1-1 and you're the greatest thing since Steven Strasburg, that's going to be what it looks like. You're going to have to be the chosen one. So I think there's going to be pressure on him either way. And I can't wait for that day. Why not opening day here in Pittsburgh?
I know.
I'll tell you, Jason Mackey did the calculation, thanks to him, because I don't want to have to do math. You know, if you're on the roster for 173 days, that's a year of service time. If you're on the roster for 172 days, that's not a year of service time. And opening day is right on that cutoff here in Pittsburgh. How about that? Bring them up. Start them.
Yes.
Make the playoffs.
Yes.
What are your expectations for the Pirates? 412-928-9370. Here's another question. Who's under more pressure to win right now? Is it Derek Shelton, the manager? Is it Ben Cherington, the general manager? 412-928-9370. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Armstrong Comfort with Matt Mertz Plumbing.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So the Pirates' rotation to start is going to be Mitch Keller, Martin Perez, the Gonzalez Cat, Jared Jones, and Bailey Falter. That is not a good enough starting rotation, even if your lineup is good and your bullpen is good. But the bullpen to start the season is banged up. Carmen Majolinski, he's on the IL.
You know how to say his name.
Majolinski. That's a running bit. Going to do it forever. I don't care if it's not funny. Also, Colin Holderman, because he lost 15 pounds because he got the flu. He's going to start the season on IL. So your strength, presumably, coming into the year, I've seen lists where the Pirates are a top five bullpen, isn't going to be a strength right off the bat. Not as good. Now, Luis Ortiz is in the bullpen, and he throws hot gas. He should be able to help. You obviously add Aroldis Chapman. His velocity was down the last time he pitched in spring. You wonder if he's just taken a little off. Probably no reason to panic. David Bednar's worked his way back. He should be good. But the rotation, it's not good enough. I do think there's a chance that this rotation that I'm about to say could be good enough, Doran, to make the playoffs. Mitch Keller, Martin Perez, Paul Skeens, Jared Jones, and Luis Ortiz. You got three guys there that can throw 100 miles an hour. You got a guy in Mitch Keller who halfway through last year was a Cy Young candidate. And you got Martin Perez who, well, we know what he did last year. He was a successful piece of a very successful team. It's just, how long do you wait before you put that rotation together? I think this is a simplistic viewpoint here, Doran, but the faster you get to that five, the better.
Mm-hmm.
If that's your five, with a good bullpen, with a lineup that we expect to score runs, you could win 83 games. I'm not here telling people that this is going to be the $79. We are family, lumber company, anything like that. But can you, with this lineup and that rotation, win 83 games, which could be enough to win the division? Yeah, I think the answer is yes.
I'm just still perplexed about Ortiz not being in the rotation right now.
I agree.
I mean, have we heard anything?
Like, you can't tell me that you're trying to win and Bailey Falter is in your rotation to start the season.
Especially what he did in the spring.
Especially what he's done since he's existed right. And played Major League Baseball. But yes, the spring was horrific, Doran Dickerson. In fact, if you look back, if you add his spring to what he did last year, he's been scored on in 14 of his 16 outings with the team with a 6.23 ERA. He's given up 16 homers in 56 and a third innings. What are we doing there? What is the thought process there? And you got Domingo Germán that you're trying to, I didn't even include him in my potential rotation, but he would, if he were to ramp back up, he would absolutely be an upgrade over a couple of the guys they have now, including Bailey Falter. But how do you have that guy in the rotation when you've got Luis Ortiz, who had a great spring? I would even, and I don't believe in these guys, I would even have Quinn Priester or Roansy Contreras in the rotation over Bailey Falter because at least they've got potential. I don't know what I see in this guy. Nothing. I don't know what they see in this guy, I should say, because I see, and we all should see, nothing. And it's a disgrace that he's in the rotation day one when the division's going to get won by a team that might win 85 freaking games, Dory.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree. But I don't know if I agree with Rowanzi and Priester. Every time they go out there, you kind of hold your breath. And I think that I think Rowanzi's in the bullpen, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that will be his ultimate stop.
He might be very good there.
Yeah.
He does not have I don't want to get too in the weeds, but it's not like he's got an array of pitches like Keller's going to throw 6-7 pitches. He's got a couple. He's got the fastball. He's got the slider.
Right.
And that might profile more, you're right, as a bullpen guy. But what I'm saying is over Bailey Falter, I would take just about anybody, including Nicholas Harry Callis. We know what Bailey Falter is going to bring. And a lot of times in sports, you're guessing. Can Mitch Keller be the guy that he was in the first half? Can he be the guy that he was in the second half 2 years ago? Or is he going to be more the guy that you got in the second half last year? You're guessing on these kinds of things. Can Henry Davis, can he hang in there, and can he catch 115 games and bring that bat to the lineup every day and be the guy he was in AA and in AAA last year? These are questions. What is not a question is, can Bailey Falter be good? Because the answer has already been proven many times over. No, he cannot.
Come on. He could pull something out.
This ain't Rich Hill, man. Like, even Marco Gonzalez, I believe in more than Bailey Falter. Because he's been good in the past. Callis, you have something to add?
He's been good in the past, but he's...
You don't believe in him more than Bailey Falter? What I'm doing here is not saying Marco Gonzalez is a great player.
You're saying he's better than Falter.
Yes, I'm not saying Rowanzi Contreras, this version of him, is a good pitcher. A good starter. But I do want to see what he's got in a rotation spot ahead of Bailey Falter. I damn well want to see what Luis Ortiz would do every fifth day. Like, I don't get it. The only way I'm okay with it is if in 2 weeks, Bailey Falter out and Paul Skeens in, at least there'd be some rhyme and reason to that.
Yes.
But short of that, you're not a serious organization if you're going to trot Bailey Falter out there every fifth day in a division that's winnable. Like, if we were going to be looking up, the Pirates were at the Cubs at 95 wins and the Cardinals at 94 and the Reds at 92, then, you know, the only solution would have been go spend big money in free agency. That's the only way to close that gap. But we're talking about a team last year, the Pirates, that basically had two starting pitchers down the stretch, still found a way to win 76 games. You only got to win 7 more, and you're right there. You only got to win 8 more, and you might win the division. So every time Bailey Falter takes the bump, that hurts your chances of getting to that 83 win mark. And it's perplexing to me. 412-928-9370. Here's a question. I want the phone calls right now. I want your phone calls. We want your phone calls. We want to talk to you. Pirates predictions at 412-928-9370. And then also we want this. Who's under more pressure, Ben Cherington or Derek Shelton? We'll answer that question when we come back. Callis is just chomping at the bit to get his Pirates takes out there.
Yes,
today.
He is.
Why are you wearing no Pirates garb? You look like a traffic cone.
I don't have a great answer to that, but thank you for the...
Do you have a Pirates jersey? Do you have a Pirates ball cap?
I actually don't have anything. I need to get something.
You do. You know what I'm going to do? Not buy you guys anything. But I can lend you a hat.
You think that one of your hats will fit us?
Please let me wear one of your hats. I actually tried to put on his West Virginia jacket yesterday, and he panicked.
I
got real mad.
You should have ripped it.
It was about to be Tommy Boy, fat guy in a little coat.
You should have ripped it like Tommy Boy.
Like, Donnie picked it up and was like, let me wear your jacket. I was like, please don't. He started putting one arm in. I'm like, Donnie, you're a big guy. And then Callis grabs it, and he's like really trying to put it on. That thing wasn't cheap. A birthday gift. Fat guy in a little coat.
You guys should be those two for Halloween.
That was...
We absolutely should be those guys for Halloween. I'll be David Spade.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Who can I be? One of the workers in the car shop.
You could be the deer we hit with our car. Who's under more pressure to win this year, Ben Cherington or Derek Shelton? The answer is probably both, but that's not good for talk radio. Also, a programming note. At the 48-minute mark of every hour, we got Pirates season projections. So we're doing some over-under bets. We'll go over or under on some specific props for the Pirates this season. A lot of Steelers talk over the course of the show as well. But up next, Charrington or Shelton? Who's under more pressure?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Lots of Steelers today because people keep talking about the quarterback situation in a way that is amusing to me. Amusing to us, Doran? Are you amused?
Very.
Okay, so it's amusing to us. And I think people are out to lunch on this whole quarterback thing. So we'll get to that coming up in full form at 7 o'clock. Right now, though, our Pirates preview at 412-928-9370. What are your expectations for the club? Doran says it is playoffs or bust. I'm inclined to agree with that. Bare minimum, I want September 1st to be meaningful for them. I want them to have 1 month of the season left and for us to all go, oh, darn it, they are in the playoff race. What say you, 412-928-9370? And who's under more pressure this year, Derek Shelton or Ben Charrington? Let's start off with Jim in Peters Township. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, you doing? Hey, look, let's talk about Bailey Folder first. I have a friend in Philly. He's a bum. I agree. Now,
your friend's a bum or Bailey Falter's a bum?
Bailey Falter's a bum.
Okay, good, yeah.
Now, they're hoping they get one good start out of him and they could trade bait him and left there. Now, I've been following the Pirates since 1960 when I was 8 years old playing Little League baseball, okay? I think, now, I need a fourth World Series before I die. I've got three under my belt. I think they're going to win the division. And you might think I'm drinking. I'm not. They have a back-end bullpen, which I think is going to be – hold him at flu. I mean, it's on his arm. You're going to have a left – you're going to have a right-hander, a left-hander, and a right-hander. They're going to lock it down. Last 2 years, who won the World Series? It was Houston 2 years ago. Last year was Texas. You get into the eighth inning, it's going to be lights out. Now, I do think at third base, Kebron Hayes is the real deal. He leveled the swing out. You look at his stats from mid-July on – when you bet him second, you bet Cruz first, you got Reynolds catch, and then you got the big guy Jack. I'm going to tell you something. They're going to score a lot of runs.
I agree with that, Jim, and thank you so much for the call. You can be next at 412-928-9370.
Great call.
He was born in 1952.
Yes, I was doing the math in my head, too.
Yeah. I should have asked him if he was there for the 1960 World Series, the Mazeroski walk-off.
He might have, yeah.
He might have been.
Might have been.
Papa takes you to the game. You would never forget that for the rest of your life. And if I were him, I would say I was there even if I wasn't.
Yes.
A lot of people have done that.
You can fabricate whenever you get older.
Mm-hmm. There's like 750,000 Pittsburghers that say that they were at that game.
Yeah.
Even though there were probably only 35, something like that, maybe even less.
His take on Cabrian Hayes saying he leveled off his swing, though, I think Cabrian Hayes' issue last year at least is when he wasn't healthy, his back. And we talked about that a lot. I mean, it's not any groundbreaking news, but whenever you rotate and you have back issues, like everything is just knocked off your hips, everything. It's all aligned with your back. So the fact that he is probably healthy this year and he was healthy towards the end of the year last year doing his rehab and the way that he ended last year, and now he's 100%, I think he's going to have a stellar year.
If he hits the way – well, because we know what he's going to bring in the field.
Absolutely.
Like that's a known. He is a known commodity there. He might be the best defender in the sport regardless of position. And so if he hits the way he did at the end of last year, if he hits the way that he did in spring, if he can keep that going, that's one of the bargain contracts in the entire sport.
That might be the make or break of the season, honestly. Like if we want to, we'll decipher through this throughout the show, but he might be the make or break component to the Pirates and what they do this
year. You can make an argument that there's a handful of guys
that are like
that, which makes it a fun team, I think, this year. At very least, this will be a fun team. They got a lot of talent. There are question marks. They should be interesting from the start of the year to the end of the year, I think. Who's under more pressure, Ben Cherington or Derek Shelton? Let me answer my question first, Doran. I think it's Ben Cherington. Well, I still don't know. Is this fair or not? Like, I don't know if Derek Shelton's a good manager or not. I really don't. I think he's got the pulse of his clubhouse. I think he's an optimist. And I think for a young team, you need a guy like that. I like the cut of his jib. I like his personality. As far as the in-game tactics, I'm not so sure if he's good or not. Like, we already went through it. In 2020, he's trotting out a lineup with Jose Ozuna, Guillermo Heredia, and Jared Dyson. Even last year, Kanan Smith and Jigba was in the opening day lineup. There was zero depth to that team last year. Bullpen, there was no depth to the team in the lineup. You had Jiwon Bae, who you needed to be good at second base. You had Austin Hedges. I don't need to go through all the names. Like, he has not had a roster as good as this one. And so that does come with pressure. You need to get the most out of what is a more talented roster. That being said, this is year five for Ben Cherington. It is incumbent upon that guy to have put a roster out there that is playoff caliber. So that's why I'll say it's Ben Cherington.
I'm with you. I was going to go Shelton, but I'm with you with Cherington. He's the one putting the rosters together, and you only can work with what you have if you're Derek Shelton. I mean, Matt Canada, he was and you could tell where a coach or a manager is good or not if they do have talent, or if they don't have talent and get the most out of the talent, the non-talent player, non-talented players that they have. Matt Canada had talent, couldn't get it out of them. And, you know, the GM at the time, and Kevin Colbert, he put the players in place to have a winning-ish roster. And you look at the opposite with the Pirates, like, Shelton can only work with what he has, and now he has, right? So I think this might be the year of evaluation for Shelton, like game in and game out. Like, how do you work the inner workings of what you do actually have now? There's no excuse. So right now it would be Cherington, but probably in a couple weeks it'll be Shelton who has the most heat on their back for the construction and how they deploy the roster.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is they both have pressure on them because they've been around. Yeah, and they are linked. They've been around long enough. I don't think the rosters have been good enough to this point to have expected Derek Shelton to have gotten more out of it. Like, Derek Shelton taking the Pirates from a 60-ish win team to a 76 win team last year, that's a really good job by him. And I still don't think it was a great roster. Not even close. This year's a much better roster. Ben Cherington, though, if they don't make the playoffs, I think it's going to look something like this if they don't make the playoffs, Doran. Like, I think they're going to be around 80 wins, and I don't think will come down as hard on Shelton. Like, you'll be able to pick out a few games. Oh, man, if he did this or that, maybe they would have won 84, 85 to win the division. I think more people will come back to, hey, Ben, why didn't you add another bona fide starter?
Yes.
If you had added a bona fide starter who's going to take the ball every fifth day for 30-plus games, you could have closed that gap. You could have won the division. What say you? 412-928-9370. At the 48 mark of every hour, we got Pirates predictions. We'll start with the hitters coming up next, Doran, at 7 o'clock. Oh, my gosh. Ryan Clark said something that I think is getting a lot of play, and it should, but maybe not for the reasons why it's getting the play. Who's under more pressure, Derek Shelton or Ben Cherington, to win this year? Couple more reasons why I think it ultimately will be Cherington, Doran. They should be average enough with the division to be bad to be in it. He's going to need to make a move at the deadline or two. The other thing is, I've said that the whole season basically hinges upon when Paul Skenes comes up. That's more of a him decision than it is a Derek Shelton decision. Are you ready for some over-unders?
Oh,
that's what this music means today, Doran. We'll be doing it at the 48 or 50 mark of every hour. Some Pirates over-unders, some Pirates projections. The 50-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills.
Callis, can you keep note of this and have tallies or have columns of our names and what we do, and we can look at it.
And Callis, we would like you to partake in this as well.
Yes.
The effervescent baseball mind that you are. All right, here we go. First one, boys. Last year, Jack Suwinski hit 26 ding-dongs. You look at some of the big-time gambling outlets, right around 24.5 for Jack Suwinski. So, 24.5 homers, over or under?
Over.
I'd like to see Jack hit lefties a little bit better.
Yes, I think he will. I think that's one of those components that he worked on in the offseason, worked on throughout spring training, and just getting slightly better at that obviously upped his number. So, I'm going to go over.
Callis?
I say over. I like where he is now and where he's been developing.
If Jack Sawinski's hitting down in your lineup, mm-hmm. like sixth or seventh, and he hits over 24 and a half homers, you're in a really good spot.
He reminds me of where Pedro Alvarez was a couple years, or not a couple, a few years ago, 2013.
Yeah, Sawinski hit lefties a little bit better. He's the kind of guy, like Pedro, to your point, Callis, that for a week or two, he can carry your offense.
Yeah, he gets hot, he gets hot.
Yes, he does. I'm going over 24 and a half. He did it last year. He's a better player this year. Over. Brian Reynolds, the line set at 22 and a half home runs, Doran Dickerson.
He's going to be right at 22. So under.
Callis?
I'm going to go over. I have faith in him. I think that without having to be the only like catalyst in the lineup, he'll have less pressure on him, which may relax him and allow him to do better.
Brian Reynolds last season hit 24. He had the amazing start, fell off, and then came back around. And he had the contract thing hanging over his head a little bit early on in the season. He hit 27 the year before that. He hit 24 the year before that. There's no such thing as a safe bet, but I think Brian Reynolds is going over 22 and a half. I think he's going to be, I'll say 25 homers. O'Neill Cruz, I could not find his line. So I'll set my own. 29 and a half home runs.
Over. All-star year.
All-star.
You got it.
Callis?
I'll say over. I don't want to jinx it because, you know, I don't want to put that high of expectations on him to hit like a monumental amount, but I think he can handle a line of 29 and a half if that were to be realistic. So I'll say over.
Right now, we are projecting the Pirates to score a lot of runs.
Kind of what we've been saying for weeks now.
Mm-hmm. I got O'Neill Cruz at over 29 and a half. I'd also take him on under 35 and a half. Like, I think he's going to be between 30 and 35. Yep. I don't think he's going to be a 40-40 guy this year, but I do think he'll have a really good season, and he'll carry over what he's been doing in spring training. Key Brian Hayes last year hit 15 home runs. The over-under set at 15 and a half.
Over. Said it before in the last segment. Healthy. And I think he just picks up right where he left off, and that's leaving off in spring and having a good spring. Leaving off where he ended the season, and definitely over.
John Wehner said he could hit 20 this year. What do you think, Callis?
Provided that injuries don't hinder him this year, I'll say over to that.
I'm going under on the home runs, albeit slightly. I think he's going to hit 15 again. I think his batting average is going to be pretty good, though. I think he's going to hit up around 280, and because of the way he fields, we're going to be looking at him going, okay, he's a solid piece of what is a good lineup. Jared Triolo, his projection on Baseball Reference, 280 batting average. Higher or lower?
Slightly higher.
Nicholas?
Focused on one position, as I asked Mackie and asked Wehner this week, will that help him? Being a utility player for the last couple years, will it help him be focused on one position that is second base? And I think that helps with his batting as well because he won't have to focus on other things. So I think his batting average will get raised a little bit.
Triolo's like my dark horse.
Yep.
I think he'll bat 300 this year.
Whoa!
Or close, I like, to that, it,
between
Dallas.
295 and 300.
I think he's going to hit 270, and I think he's going to play Gold Glove caliber second base. He's not going to be the 280 hitter that he's projected to be, but he's going to have a solid year, and he's probably going to play 135, 140 games at second. We'll do this at the 48 mark of every hour. We'll start next hour, boys, with Henry Davis over under 115 games caught. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Simmer on it. You've got about an hour. Coming up next, Ryan Clark. He said he bumped into Mike Tomlin at the owners' meetings in Orlando. And he says that Mike Tomlin, he's never seen him more excited about the season. Why? We'll tell you next. But first, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. Save some green in March at Sun Chevy or sunchevy.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.